It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and we're down to the 28th verse. Exodus 12, 28, and that's where we're going to begin reading today. And so please that you open your Bibles so that you can follow along today. It's going to be a great study. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time for you to look to the Word of God and open your Bibles. And if you're traveling, why, please just listen very carefully, and I know that you'll enjoy the study today. Beginning to read now with Exodus chapter 12, verse 28. The children of Israel went away, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up, and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord, as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, We be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside the children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel, who dwelt in Egypt, were 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. That is that night of the Lord to observe of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. And then it continues to the end of the chapter. But we're going to end right there and begin in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together today and study your word. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have. So please that you will guide and lead us and bless us upon this opportunity, the studying of your word. Show us your way and will, dear Lord, because it's so important that we know exactly what your word has to say, apply it to our hearts, and help us to live just in such a way. So guide and lead us now, Lord, as we study. And those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, please that they come today. We have such a beautiful picture with the Passover here, and please that they will come and trust in you. You know, their sin has got a price. The debt has to be paid. The wage of sin is death. Jesus Christ has paid that debt, but it is not a universal salvation. We must come by faith and accept that free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ has handed to us. He has faced death, death, burial, and resurrection. And so he rose from the dead that we not only have our sins forgiven with his death, with his precious blood, but we also have life. And what a wonderful life we have in Jesus Christ. So please look to that today. If you know Jesus as your Savior, let's continue to live towards him and build a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have, as we look at these verses of Scripture here, it continues through this Exodus, literally Exodus, out of the land of Egypt. And we find that Pharaoh finally allows them to go. But we look at some things here that had to take place, and we've spent quite a bit of time on it. We're not going to spend a lot of time today on it, but we are going to review it shortly so that we do not forget how important it is, the application of the blood. You know, before the blood could be applied, the lamb had to die. And so the lamb has died, the blood has been applied, and now salvation comes to the nation of Israel as they're delivered out of Egypt. And same goes for your life. You know, first the lamb had to die, and the perfect sacrificial lamb is Jesus Christ himself. And so he has died for you. He has set you free. But until you apply the blood, until you trust by faith in Jesus Christ, it's not to your account. It's hard to understand maybe just a little bit that your sins can be forgiven, but it's not doing you any good. And it won't do you any good until you come by faith to Jesus Christ and accept that free gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So please, that you look to Jesus today, trust in him today, come by faith today, be born again, and you trust in, and as the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart right now, you trust in what he's telling you, and come, call upon him, and please do that today. And so we have that set into place. We've had the lamb killed. Always the lamb has to die. Then we have the shedding of blood. And we know that the Word of God tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, none. And so we need all this act. We need everything, all the facts and the things that have taken place here, the activities that have been taking place. We need all of them. There's nothing that can be left out. It's God's plan for our salvation, and it's put into place for us. And we have a picture here of what's taken place with this lamb. And again, the lamb has been chosen. The lamb has been chosen in that for that family, to cover that family. And so the lamb dies. And again, if the family is small, and the lamb is, there's too much meat, and so then you bring in other families. See, the lamb is always sufficient, always will be enough. So don't think for once that lamb is not going to be enough for you, because he is. Jesus Christ is all-knowing, all-powerful. He is God, and he can take your sin away. But you need to come by faith and call upon him. And we see here that it's the activity is itself is beginning to take place, and we find that when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped, this is about to take place here in the last half of verse 27. Then we look at 28. The children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And then 29. It came to pass that at midnight, so the time is set, and see, that time was set before the foundations of the world, because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and as this lamb was put to death to be a picture of the salvation that was coming through Jesus Christ, a salvation for these people here in Israel, in Egypt, for the Israelites, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, as my sins are forgiven, and Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago for my sins, but from the foundations of the world, God had put into place how he would save his people. He knew that the nation of Israel was going to turn against him. He knew that the Gentiles, that no man would desire to know God. And he knew that. and yet He still created us. He put everything in place. He gave us the choice and the decision because He wants us to serve Him by free will, by choice, not by some demand, not by His iron rule that we will serve Him. And you know, when the millennium comes, why, He will rule with a rod of iron. And so He will still give everyone that free choice to come. But as far as the rule upon this land, it will be done right and proper and with a rod of iron. And so, you know, we hear the rod spoken of, you know, this, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And you do. And if you are raising your children today not with the rod, not with proper discipline, not with spanking. You know, God gave us a hand, He gave them a bottom, and you better have both of those meet if you're going to expect that child to grow up. And you know, the philosophers today, or the psychologists and psychiatrists today, I mean, they are teaching contrary to that, and oh, you warp the child's mind and things like that. Please don't listen to them, because you're going to ruin your child. No discipline, when you choose to not discipline your child properly, that's child abuse. You know, you hear so much of that today. Well, that is child abuse if you're not disciplining your child properly. You need to look to the Word of God, follow the Word of God. Moses and Aaron was to follow the Word of God. Every Israelite was to follow the Word of God, and we need to do the same thing. And there is a time that He will come, and He will rule with a rod of iron. And the discipline will be done as it should be. And it's we can wait for that. That time will come during the millennial reign. We'll be here with Him, but we'll be back here with Him, because we'll have already left, been gone for 7 years, and then returned. And so, a little history lesson there of what's to come. But I hope that you are looking here very carefully, because you're going to see something here that happens to the land of Egypt, that the only comparison we have is the place called hell, or the lake of fire, is the only place that a torment and a fear and a suffering is going to equal, and it's going to be greater in lake of fire than here. But upon this earth, this is the closest. Now, in Sodom and Gomorrah, He sent fire and brimstone down, and He destroyed that city so fast that nobody really had time to suffer. But you see here, they're going to suffer. They're going to suffer for their sins. They're going to suffer for the gods that they have worshipped. And you are too. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer the consequences of the lake of fire. You're going to suffer the consequences of the place of torment awaiting your final resting place, which will be the lake of fire. And we know here back in Exodus chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "For there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more." Look at that. Upon this earth there'll be nothing like it. And can you imagine, as that death angel came through, as that death angel passed through, and we're going to read verse 29, "It came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle." Everything died. And it tells us that there was not one household that did not suffer this death angel. Every household had death in it, every one. And the screams and the pain and the suffering that went on during this time when this death angel come through has never been like it, never was before, and never will be again upon this earth. That is tremendous pain and suffering. And we can't even imagine, because this battle of Armageddon that's coming, that's something that is going to be a horror to this world. And, you know, it's only the Lord bringing an end to it is what's going to make it in any way bearable for those that are still alive. Because, you see, at the end of the tribulation period, those that were saved during the tribulation, born-again believers, will walk right on into the millennium. And so, there will be a time, but it's going to be cut short because the Lord's going to come. He's going to speak, and judgment's going to come. And we have lost the fear of God. We'd lost the when God speaks, we're not scared. We should be scared when God speaks. You say, "Oh, you know, we're to reverence Him." No, you're to be scared. He's God. He's made this earth. He's made these heavens. He's made this universe. Be scared. when he speaks. Listen to what he says. Do it. He tells you the way to be saved, and that's by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, and you best do it. Don't make any excuses. You know, some people take the summer off. They think that, there's summer, there's children on vacation from school, and so they take vacation from God. Well, you'll be sorry for that. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you do that, you'll be sorry. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're plumb sorry already. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please come. Don't come by works. Don't come by anything. Just come by faith to Jesus Christ. Pharaoh rose up in the middle of the night. This was such a horrifying event that he rose up in the middle of the night, and all of his servants and all of the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. That's in verse 30. Look at that. Isn't that a terrible, terrible thing? Look at the judgment that came upon the land of Egypt because of their refusal to serve God, their refusal to come and surrender to God. That's what happens. And what an example that we have, again, back in the 6th verse of chapter 11, and then here as we look at these verses in chapter 29 and 30 of the 12th chapter. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone." Now look at the at how the Pharaoh has changed. You know, there was one time that he said, "Well, worship here." No, I'm not going to do that. He says another time, he said, "Please that you just go yourselves, leave your families and your livestock here, leave everything here. You just go yourselves and that 3 days, and then come back, and that'll be fine." And then another time, he says, "Yeah, you go ahead and go, take your families, but leave the livestock." It was always on Pharaoh's terms. But when God attacked the gods of Pharaoh, the gods of Egypt, and destroyed them, Pharaoh had no choice but to come trembling before God. And he came before Aaron and Moses, being representatives of God, and says, "You go, and you go fast, and you take your children, and you take your families, and you take your livestock, and you go. Get out of Egypt and get out now," because you see, Pharaoh was scared. He was scared. All of Egypt was scared. All the leaders of Egypt was scared. Everybody was scared. Now you see, there's only one problem with that. I've had a lot of people before that something's happened in their life. Maybe it's an auto accident, or it's a disease, or cancer, or something to go in with the family, and they get down on their knees. They says, "Oh God, I need you, and please, you get me through this time. I will serve you." I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, that's not salvation. Salvation's when you face your sin. Because when you're scared and you call upon God, it ain't long that you're not scared anymore. You've come through that terrible time, and so you're not scared. So then you don't need God anymore. Well, if you be born again, if you come by faith to Jesus Christ because you've confessed your sin and called upon Him, now that's different. Because now you have the Holy Spirit within you, and He is going to continue to guide and to lead you and to teach you. That's a difference from being scared from a circumstance, from a situation. Pharaoh, Egypt, all the Egyptians was scared because of the situation. And when that fear went away, which wasn't very long, then they chased back after him again because they were going to capture him and bring him back. And so you see, fear doesn't work. And when I preach about hell, and I talk about hell, and I talk about the judgment that's to come, and I believe that Jesus Christ is soon in His return, and I don't think it's going to be long He's going to be back. And when He comes again, we're going to take away the church. It's going to be raptured from here. The graves are going to be opened to those that were born again, and those that of us are alive will be taken up into the air, receive our glorified bodies. We're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's going to be a 7-year period there that there's going to be a tribulation period upon this earth. And during that 7 years of tribulation, it's going to be the most horrifying, horrible time. And there's going to be God. There are going to be people that's going to want to call upon God. But I don't believe they're going to be able to because they have missed their chance. I believe that if they heard the gospel, before the tribulation period started, before the church was raptured, and they refused it, I don't think they're going to have a chance to be saved. So they're going to have to live in that horrible time with no hope. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm mistaken on that doctrine. But if I am, that's okay. But if I'm not, you got no hope. None. You better face your sin today, and you better come by faith to Jesus Christ. You need salvation, and the only salvation that's offered to you is through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we have the judgment coming. We have the opposite coming to the nation of Israel, because, you see, not one home was touched. Not one home in Goshen was touched. Because, you see, when they listened to the Word of God, when they listened, they went out and they killed that lamb. They got the lamb first. And then 4 days later, they killed that lamb. And they caught the blood and they applied the blood. So you have the death of the lamb. And you have the applying of the blood. Those two things are a requirement for your salvation. And that picture is so beautiful and so perfect here. As the Passover lamb. And if the blood was applied, the lamb was put to death, they did everything according to the Word of God, then we find victory coming. Because, you see, that death angel came right by that door. But when he saw the blood, he passed on by. And he went to the house of the Egyptian. And when he didn't see the blood, and the lamb was not killed, they come. And there was death in that household. And look at the scriptures here and how clear that it says, I will execute judgment in the 12th verse of chapter 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and he will. And he's going to bring judgment upon this land and upon this earth, because we are refusing to walk with him, refusing to surrender to him, refusing salvation through him. We've tried and built other ways. Well, other ways won't work. Egypt tried to serve other gods. That didn't work. And I'm sure some of the Israelites tried to do it another way. It didn't work. The only way it works is if you come by faith to Jesus Christ. And we know here that it says in verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, there's a way to do it, and that way is by faith. You need to come by faith. The Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Do it. Do it. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? You say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel of Egypt, and smote Egypt, and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Oh, you can't, I know I keep going through this, but I don't want you to miss it. Because if you haven't found salvation yet, I don't know how long you've been listening to this radio program, but if you haven't found it yet, your days are numbered. Your days are short. He tells us very clear that there isn't a large number of days for your salvation. You aren't promised 30 days or 30 years. You're promised today. Today is the day of salvation. And you don't even know if you're going to finish today. And so you see, it's urgent. And you said, Larry, you're scaring me to know that. Well, I hope I am. I hope I am, because I care for your soul, and I want you to come by faith to Jesus Christ. You don't hear me ever ask for money. You don't hear me ever tell you that you have to come to this church for salvation. But you hear me often say that you need to come by faith to Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, what is that going to gain me? What's that going to do? What's that going to do for this church of Parkview Bible Church? What's that going to do for me when I don't even know that you've come by faith to Jesus Christ? And then you become born again, and you're saved, you're born again, and then you go and you join a local church that preaches the Word of God and teaches the Word of God. What's that going to gain me? You know, that's the way we are. It's me. Well, it's going to gain great. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a blessing. And I don't ever need to know that you come by faith to Jesus Christ. I would love to, so I can pray for you. I'd love to, so I can help guide you to a Bible-believing church. But I care for your soul. That's what I care about. And I hope that you receive it today. Don't be an Egyptian. Don't be a backslidden Israelite. Don't be one that decided that there was nothing to it. Pharaoh thought he could make it. Pharaoh thought he could do it. Pharaoh thought. That's the problem. Come by faith. Stop your thinking. Stop your figuring. And come by faith to Jesus Christ today. Look at the verse 33. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, and that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." Look how they feared God. Look how they feared God, and yet we have no response of these people, these Egyptians or Pharaoh's men, falling on their face in repentance. So you see, these cries, these acknowledgments of the condition they're in, doesn't work. The only thing that works, the only thing that comes, is if you call on a holy God, if you call on Him, the God, and trust by faith that He'll save you. And Jesus Christ is our holy God. And you need to call upon Him and trust in Him. God the Father sent Him. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to convict your heart. You got all of it done. You just need to come. That's all you need to do, is come and become a child of God. Please, that you don't miss that. And we find here that again, there's not one household that doesn't have someone dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said." And then he goes on and he says, "Take your flocks, take your herds, take everything and be gone quickly." Fear is in their hearts. Fear is in their hearts. When fear comes, there's a chance of salvation, that they'll turn to the living God. And I hope some did. We don't have the response of that. We don't have an acknowledgement of that. But I hope some did. And you know, as we go on now and we realize the condition that the Egyptians are in, look at the wonderful condition that the people of Israel, they are alive. The people of Israel are alive, are excited, are being delivered. That's what happens when you come by faith to Jesus Christ. You get delivered. You get delivered from your sin, from the bondage of sin. You're delivered. Please come by faith to Jesus Christ today and call upon Him, that you know Jesus as your Savior, that you depend upon Him. Please, that you call upon Jesus Christ today. They did as they were told. They were told to go to the Egyptians, ask them for their jewels and for their silver and for their gold. And they did. And they walked out of Egypt rich. With the spoil of Egypt, they walked out of Egypt. Look at that. Not only did God deliver them, not only God kept them safe, but God also then blessed them. And they walked out of Egypt with the spoils of Egypt. It just looked like Egypt had been to war. And there were more casualties than normally in war, because the casualties don't hit from the top, from the richest to the poorest. And it did. It went all the way through. There wasn't one family, one household that wasn't touched by this. Oh, what a day. What a day to remember. And they walked out. And it tells us how many. It says about 600,000 on foot that were men besides the children. So you hear me say anywhere from 1.5 million to 3 million people, because we also have a mixed multitude that's with them there in the next verse. And so we see this great army, this gigantic family, God's family, leaving the world and heading for the promised land. Oh, what a wonderful day. Some people think that that's talking about heaven, the promised land. It's not. It's the life that we have here upon earth, right here and now. Joy and peace and blessings. please, that you look to Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Please call upon Him today. You have to. Today is the day of salvation. Please come. Please call upon Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?